Ask the Lord to lead and guide us this evening. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we just want to hear from you tonight. Just speak to us as you've faithfully spoke to us this week. Lord, just want to make room for you tonight and do what you do best, and that's heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Move on us, as you done since we've asked you in our hearts. And Lord, we just expect great things. Let us ask more than we can imagine. Ask for great things in your name. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. I just praise the Lord for confirmation, because the song that was on my heart was I've Come to Believe. And that's what Wes was playing just now. So that just thrills my soul. I'm really encouraged this week. I tend to have a lot of questions about God and my faith, and a lot of whys. And I find on Sunday morning and at camps, he's faithful to answer those questions. Not always the answer I want to hear, not always a clear answer, but an answer of faith and peace and promise. And we've definitely heard God's voice this week through prophecy and through messages. And I really think he's if we will listen, open our ears and our eyes, he will be faithful to speak to us, to meet our heart's desire, and to answer those questions that we have. I loved singing those psalms that one service. I think it was mostly psalms we sang, and some others as well. The psalms have been really speaking to me this past year. It's kind of my go-to when I wake up in the morning. The promises of God are all over them, and the answers to life's questions. We have David, who was this weak man, and God brought him forth to be king. And the Psalms were, I mean, Jesus had the Old Testament as his Bible. And as the writers of the New Testament, they quoted the Old Testament, and especially the Psalms and Isaiah, quite a bit. So we have so much in there of the promises of God. I also loved singing the songs of victory this week. That's been on my heart, that we need to press in and claim the victory for the things in our lives that we need answers for. We are in spiritual warfare. Had this quote. If I can find it. I don't think I brought it, but something like, you're denying that you're in a battle does not exclude you from the battle. We're in it no matter what, and we only have one answer to fighting that. We can't fight it with our own flesh anymore. We can't perform our way out of our problems. We need to put on the full armor of God. So those are just some of the things that have been in my heart this week that I've been learning. And I just wrote down a few scriptures too. The Word of God has just been so exciting to me this year. I've heard a brother say this week, talking about they just want more of the Spirit in their life and less of the flesh, and one day that we're just going to be walking into the Spirit, and we'll just be in the Spirit the whole time. And I was thinking, I want to, on my tongue, I want to have the Word of God all the time. I don't want to have any of my ideas or words anymore, because the flesh fails. So one was, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. And I'll just quickly read these. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and delivers those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with that part. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Ephesians 3:20, He is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine. Amen? We need to think big about God. We can't put limits on God. Jeremiah 29, I think this was prophesied this week. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans of peace and not evil, plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will answer you. John 16:22. For the present you are in sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one can take your joy away. I've been learning about the power of a joyful spirit and the songs of joy to lift your spirits. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Just amazing truths that we can just memorize. And I think hearing some of those children memorize those verses is really encouraging to me, that I need to be having the word in my heart. I'm just going to read Isaiah 55. There's another one that's been on my heart this year. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money. See, we come to God with nothing. We don't need to bring him our talents or anything. He will just come and satisfy. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy milk and wine without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Our soul food. So yeah, the song, let's just stand. This song, I've come to believe in someone greater than me. I've been doing a lot of hiking and running these days, and I tend to do it right after a tough day of work. And this is the first song I sing, and I usually have a real broken time with the Lord. And I'm just going to say the words here. I've come to believe in someone greater than me, who guides and protects me, and will at last set me free. We've got to believe these words here. And last set me free. He's restoring my soul and my destiny. I think sometimes we believe the lies that our destiny is sickness or jobless or stuck with these habits or alcoholism, whatever's getting us stuck. But he's promised that he has our destiny and our plans in his he's over all of our families and our lives. Now the chorus, how's the chorus go? Well, that's the chorus. The verse is, we all have something that's been holding us back and keeps us from walking upon much higher ground. But Jesus said, come, and I will set you free. And what do we have to do? All that I ask is that you come to believe. Amen. Let's sing it and believe it. I have come to believe in someone greater than me, who guides and protects me, and will at last set me free. He's restoring my soul and my destiny, and all because Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. At the touch of Jesus. At the touch of Jesus, blinded eyes can see. Sing this song again. I'm reminded of my Uncle Doug, Brother Witter. He loved this song and he sang it a lot and would really encourage us to enter into that. So we're going to raise our hands if you feel led. And I know I don't want people to leave this camp without getting in touch with the Lord. And whether that means taking a step towards the Lord as He leads you, whether it means just feeling His presence and having a peace that He's with you and He's restoring our destiny, or whether you just want to go all the way with Jesus and surrender your entire life to Him. But if I could have the spirit of Uncle Doug on this piece, I wish I could. I'm not him, but let's just think of Brother Witter with this song and sing it with all our hearts. At the touch of Jesus, worship you, O God. We need more of you, O Jesus. Speak to us, O God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. I think we know the song, You Are My All in All. I'm not sure it has the red book, but thank you. verses. 89 in the back of the book. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. Singing it pretty strong there.
I know it, but I haven't found it.
Maybe someone can help me. Maybe you can. Second verse says, take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Let's sing that verse.
Take the name of Jesus ever.
My Redeemer. So this is page 96 in the red book if you have it. I just love this song. The message that was on my heart was freedom tonight. I call Jesus a freedom fighter. And if I ever had a Christian band, I'd call us the Freedom Fighters. I love that phrase. From the curse to set me free. What else can we ask for tonight? Let's sing and believe that we can be free in Christ. All the chains and all the things that we put ourselves in, or that Satan lies to us and tells us we're in bondage to, Jesus is here to set us free from that. Amen. Second verse.
I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost is saved to save. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave.
Thank you.
going to let the ladies sing. Ladies, sing one time. Harmony. Just a cappella.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice.
Thank you.
Let's just stay in this same spirit of worship. Let just the Lord bring us more freedom day by day. Lord, we just want to know you and know your will for our lives and in our church. Lord, break down the walls and let us just see you. You may be seated for a moment. We just have a few prayer requests. Hey, Brian, if you could help me. This is brought from Lloyd Cornell for Ron Enoch. That's his son-in-law. So he's praying for a job. He's not able to do the work he has done for 25 years, as it is too hard for him to do anymore. Does Ron know the Lord? Does know the Lord.
First time he's ever asked for prayer.
Okay, yeah, and Lloyd said this is the first time Ron has asked for prayer, so let's just pray with him. Whatever faith he has, God will meet him there. Lord Jesus, we know you have a great destiny for Ron. You want to provide for him, and you see the completeness in Ron. And you see his skills and what he needs to do to provide a living. And we just ask largely that you provide the right job at the right time and let him know that we are asking in faith as a body and as a family with Lloyd and the Cornells. And we say in faith that Lord can answer prayer. And we ask specifically for a job and that he will know that it's the Lord providing this job for him. Amen. Amen.
Dan and Ev Levson from Calgary have a daughter-in-law named Shannon, and Shannon's sister sent this prayer request today. The sister's name is Shelley, and her ex-boyfriend has been abusive and tried to kill her. She is now so terrified and traumatized that she has been admitted to the hospital for psychiatric help. Please pray she will get the help she needs, and that the Lord will bring her comfort, peace, and safety. Also, her beloved dog is dying of cancer. Please pray for comfort for Shelley about the dog. Thank you for praying for her. Thanks is from Shannon. I'd like us to stand for this request. I'd like every person in this room to be part of this prayer war. Because this needs to be a battle that's fought and won by the Lord, and the enemy needs to be defeated. As in every case, but this one seems to be an attack. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we just thank you for Shannon and for her love for Shelley. Thank you for your love for Shelley. Dear Father, this ex-boyfriend who has become extreme and unreasonable, we pray that you would stop him in his tracks, dear Lord, that whether it be the law or your judgment, dear Lord, that he would be brought to a stop in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you would lay an axe to the root of his behavior, dear Lord, and that you would set him free from this corrupt behavior, dear Lord. Just cause him to no longer be in the hands of Satan. But Father, as Shelley has been so understandably traumatized, we thank you, dear Lord, that she has found a place of shelter in the psych ward. But we pray you would visit her there. Dear Father, you would give her an extended vacation from the trauma, that your peace, which passes understanding and the power of the Holy Spirit as we are agreeing together, would at this very moment be hers, dear Lord. We believe that we have a right and a privilege to say, Thy kingdom come into this situation, dear Lord, that You would be King of it in the name of Jesus. We pray that it would all come to a stop, dear Lord. And for her precious dog who is sick with cancer, we even know that You can even now lay Your hand on that dog and heal it. We know that that's not out of Your will to ask for that, but we commit it to You for Your purpose to be accomplished, dear Lord. But especially, dear Lord, that Shelley will find peace, dear Lord, and not be afraid to enter society again. Just give her something concrete, Lord, to know that You are in charge and that she need not fear. Remove the spirit of fear from her, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Oh God, we cover this with the blood of Christ. We claim the name of Jesus and the blood of Christ for this emergency. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Swan, are you ready to minister now? Or? Okay. So why don't you come up? I just have a request to ask one more song to sing. It's been my prayer song this year. It's Lord, Let Me Be Faithful. And I'm going to ask you to pray it for the fathers here and the families. I pray it for my family when I feel like I can't do it. I need the Lord. I want to be faithful, so Lord, let me be faithful.
Do you want to sing it here? Do you want to sing it from the
table? No. I just want us all to sing it together. You know it. Lord, let me be faithful in walking with You. Let by Your Spirit in all that I do, seeking Your kingdom, not my own way, let me be found in You, faithful each day. I guess we need a better practice on this one. Lord, let me be faithful in walking with You, led by Your Spirit in all that I do, seeking Your kingdom first, not my own way. Let me be found in You, faithful each day. Thank You.
It's wonderful how the Spirit moves on us, and it's wonderful how the Lord puts things together. And I had it on my heart as the different brethren were speaking to speak about the master craftsman, what God is doing. And David spoke so wonderfully about the master craftsman this morning in the clay, and it just really touched me. As many of the brethren were speaking, there were different things that God really brought close to me, and you know, God is the master craftsman of creation. He's the master designer. But he doesn't work as we do. All of us, or many of us, have some craftsmanship in our life, whether it's crafting poems or words, like our brother was talking about. It might be crafting things to eat. It might be pictures or plays or gardening. Many of us have to put up with the canned stuff, so to speak, and give our wife canned little verses that come on the cards, you know. But others are able to craft words. Others are able to craft food, and some people love to craft their food. Some people put a lot of energy into balancing certain fertilizers and things to try and get their plants to bloom a certain way or to taste a certain way if it's fruit. But that the nature God has given us is a reflection of His nature, that we all like to, in some way, make or do something that's special, that comes from us, that others can enjoy. But God is a master craftsman in a sense that we don't understand, as He says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. And God has chosen as His project to craft sons and daughters of God. And in a way that is, in a sense, beyond our understanding, but He is giving us understanding of that, that He can take and craft a son and daughter of God from the dust of the earth. And it's, as we started the week, Brother Mark had come to me and he said, you know, I've always wondered about the word contrite, what the word contrite means. And what the word contrite means in the Hebrew is crushed. And Lane read that. God is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and a crushed spirit. But God's purpose is not just to crush us for the purpose of have put us in situations or put us in an earth where, and in the realm of the enemy, where, of course, he's quite willing to crush us and seeks to crush us continually. But God would have us to see what the process is, and David shared that with us, that there was a process, and I remember that process when I was in about grade 3 to 5, where our teacher, to take us into the basics, back then we didn't have plasticine or that, because I'm really old, we had only clay. And so she brought in the rough chunks of dried clay and showed us how to pound it in a pedestal and make it into a powder, and then you'd add water and then you'd let it sit. And during the week when that was forming, she had a big table with a board on it, and you'd take your lump of clay and you'd take it and you'd smash it this way and smash it that way and soften it up. And it was wonderful to see that experience, and as David shared this morning about the master craftsman, the master potter, and how he was, the different things he did to, and I can say that it did smell bad, even the clay itself, to have all that soft, mushy clay at the back of the room in a little classroom without air conditioning or anything, you know, it didn't smell very good. And but not as bad as having rotten leaves and plants, I'm sure, in it, as David was sharing today. But here is this, a master craftsman beyond our understanding, that is taking and crafting sons and daughters of God. And one of the processes, as we see in the Bible, in Ezekiel probably gives it the best, is it talks there about what God will do, in that he will, in both 36 and 31, God talks in his word through the prophet Ezekiel about his work in taking that hard heart out of us. And, you know, God could just go like that and do what he's doing. But as I said, you know, we all also could just go to the store and buy whatever we want or buy something pre-manufactured. But we choose many times to do it with our own hands or with our minds because that concept of craftsmanship is in our hearts and in our minds. And there is beauty not just in the finished project, but in the process to craft that thing. I've worked with wood a bit, and I have a friend who is a fantastic person that works with wood. And he goes along the beach, and he finds a piece of drift stick or drift wood, and he takes that, and he can cut away all the deteriorated wood and work on the grains, and he comes out with some amazingly beautiful things. And he says that he can look at that thing sitting on the beach, and he gets a vision for what it should be, what the finished thing should be. And then he works at that, and he doesn't just rush through it. But I've seen him as he applied the oils and things, and how he rubs them in with his hand, and he so enjoys every part of that craftsmanship. And God enjoys every part of what he's doing. As Brother Snoke shared with us, this is taken some time. God's process has taken a lot of time. As I mentioned from Job there, that when God began creation, how the morning stars sang and the sons of God shouted for joy at that process beginning. So many years ago, we have no idea. But God is watching over this process. Psalm likens his creation as being the work of his hands as a craftsman. And there is that part that God wants to share in, that God wants to enjoy in not only the coming forth of the sons of God, but the forming and the processing of that coming forth. And he chose to do it completely opposite to how we would understand things. He chose to take the one who, by whom and through whom all things were made, and together Jesus came down in the will of the Father. And as Brother Sunbo and Brother Snoke shared, was humiliated. You know, if they were alive today and let's say someone decided to take Abraham Lincoln or George Washington and crucify him, we'd be outraged, or the Queen for us. But they can't compare in stature to the very Son of God, the only Son of the Creator of all things. And yet they took him, and they completely humiliated, as Brother Snoke described, they spat on him. Isaiah says they ripped out his beard, they smote him, they put a crown of thorns on him. They hung him on a tree, which for his culture that he was born and raised in was the most humiliating way that a person could die. In fact, it said, "Cursed is any man that hangs on a tree." And that was one reason why those that were in authority chose to have that happen to him. This could not be the Messiah. This could not be the anointed Holy One of God, because look how he's being humiliated. But this is a God who chose the line of the Son of God, Rahab the harlot, a woman who made her living as a harlot, who when the spies came through, there was something there, there was something on these men, some anointing that they sensed, that they had, that she sensed, that caused her to hide them. And she not only was saved, but became the wife and mother of Boaz, who was in the line of Jesus. Boaz himself married outside of what was considered right to Israel. He married someone who wasn't an Israelite, Naomi. And if you look at David himself, there was a man who was an embarrassment to some. He was an embarrassment to his wife Micah when he danced with all his might and didn't have anything under his robe when he was leaping way up. And she let him know what she thought of that. What way is that for a king to act? He was an embarrassment to Ahithophel, his counselor, who was the grandfather of Bathsheba. He was the counselor, a man who spoke, it said, as the oracles of God. But even speaking as the oracles of God, he didn't understand what God was doing, because he rejected David. David couldn't be the king that was chosen. But God saw something not in who he was, but the spirit that he had and the heart that he had. And from that man that did many wrong things, numbered the children of Israel when he wasn't supposed to, had Bathsheba's husband killed, a person who in a lot of our eyes wouldn't have been thought worthy if we were around at the time either. And you know, when a king does something, everybody knows. Everybody knew what he did. We see again when Jesus came that he met the woman at the well, a woman who had had five husbands, and the man she was with was not her husband. A woman who even in her own culture was not highly thought of. And yet God, through Jesus Christ, was able to see the possibilities in this woman, and she became the witness and the one that carried the truth of the Messiah into the city. God is working to bring forth a people that will see that possibility in everyone. As it says in Corinthians, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. We don't have a clue of how God is bringing forth sons and daughters of God, or what they will look like, or where they'll come from. And if we don't know, then the only thing we can do is to have that attitude of grace and mercy to everyone around us. As the Lord said, whosoever will may come. And he will bring, as he said, he will bring the outcasts in. He will heal their broken hearts. He will bind up their wounds. How will he do that? It will be his church, working through his church to do that. We will have to have such an attitude, such a mind like Christ. And we have the mind of Christ. But there's that necessity to let everything go. And sometimes we think, well, these things that have happened to us. We get in a place where we are crushed. But when David had gone through all of these things, and you know, it's the hardest to go through the mistakes you make, right? When you just do really dumb things and make really bad mistakes and get yourself into really hopeless situations and there's nobody to blame but yourself, that's pretty hard. And David did that, as we mentioned. But then he said, you know, God maybe has allowed you to be crushed. God, it's not God's desire to see you crushed. But it's God's desire to see you lend yourself to the Master Creator's hand. God is different than the potter, because the potter crushes the clay and he adds the water, and the clay doesn't get to choose. The man who creates the beautiful woodwork cuts the wood and shapes the wood, and the wood doesn't get to choose. But you get to choose. And it's God's desire for you to give yourself to the master craftsman's hand. So that, because he doesn't see you crushed, he sees you complete. The one who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were, sees you as a complete son and daughter of God. And yet it's so necessary for that hard heart to be crushed, because that's the process that it takes to remove the hardness out of your heart, to crush your heart, to add that water of the Holy Spirit, and to work it till it's malleable, till it's soft, till it's a heart of flesh, so that he can put his Spirit upon it and bring you forth in the image of Jesus Christ. Without prejudice, without presumption, but looking to a God that can make a way where there is no way, that can see a woman taken in adultery as a beautiful creature of God, that can see a woman at the well, that can see a goofy king who no one else would think should be king, who made a lot of mistakes, but who had a heart that was repentant continually, that could be molded by God. God sees that softness, that possibility in people that will turn to him. And many times you go through traumatic situations and you say, where was God? And God's waiting there for you to lend yourself to his hand so he can take your spirit that's been crushed and bring it to life. And that's what he's wanting us to see. When we look out in the world, not seeing the things that will crush us and crush others, but seeing the opportunity for life to come forth. That's why he's called us to be ministers of reconciliation, to reconcile, to renew, to give life. He's a God of rebirth. He's a God of creation. He's a God that can take that which is crushed and dust, and by pouring on his Holy Spirit, bring it to life. And God wants to do that in each of our lives. But there must be a surrender. I just want to read quickly in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. David said, search me, O God. And try my ways and see if there be any wicked thing in me. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. He will not despise. God wants you to allow him to break out, to pick out all those little particles that are going to mar that beautiful creation he wants to make out of you. And sometimes the only way he can ever speak to you is if he brings you to a place of complete hopelessness. And then he can say, and you can hear him say, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Don't worry about your weakness. Look to my strength. Let my hands fashion you. Let my hands make something out of you. David said, as he came to that place of going through these things, that the judgments of God were more to be desired than gold, sweeter than honey. And if we can, by the Spirit, understand what God is doing, not the way we understand it, we will call for the judgments of God in our life. We will call for the chastening of God that will take all the hardness out of us and replace that with that beautiful spirit of Jesus Christ. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And he set us an example when he took his only beloved son and put him to humiliation in front of us, for us to pay the debt. And now he says, take up your cross and follow me. Have you been crushed? Maybe for years, all of you that you've seen is yourself crushed by something that's happened in your life. But God wants you to see that he's standing right beside you, longing for you to just give yourself over to him. He can give you a new vision of what he's making in your life. He will apply that balm. He will apply that moistening of the Holy Spirit and begin to work you into a beautiful creation, if you will let him. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Let go. Are you hurt? Have you been wounded? Let go. Have you been offended? Let go. Are you holding a wrong vision of yourself? Let go and see what God's vision is for you.
And make straight paths for your feet. Let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, which without which no man can see God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Maybe what's happened to you has just caused you to be bitter and hopeless about everything. Maybe you have someone close to you that is in that place of bitterness and hopelessness. God will enable you to reach out to them. God is the great master craftsman, wanting to do more than we can not only ask or think, but more than we can imagine. And tonight, as the songs have been sung, and this week as we've been ministered to, God is asking us. And you know, it was mentioned to us at the beginning of the week, God is going to do a new thing. We don't have a clue of what God is going to do when He brings forth sons and daughters of God. He's going to remove all religiousness out of our midst. He's going to move all the carnality out of our midst. And He's going to break us, and He's going to mold us, and He's going to bring us to the place where we don't speak our own words or do our own works. And God wants you to take that step tonight. I'd just like us to look to the Lord. And whatever's in your life, you have something you're struggling with tonight. Maybe you've never felt God's Holy Spirit. Maybe you don't have liberty in the Spirit anymore. Maybe you have something that you're struggling with that's happened to you. Maybe you're feeling bitter. Maybe you're feeling angry. God wants to do something with that tonight. And if you'll come, let's just sing I Surrender All. And would someone come and play? You look to the Lord. What do you have that you're holding on to that could mar the vessel? What do you have that's resistant? That's what that little piece of clay was. It was resistant to the master craftsman's hand, and it made a gouge. And I know about resistance. I'm a resistant person. But I know that God has been speaking to me this week. And God has been speaking to me very clearly about letting things go. About yielding and submitting to the master craftsman's hand. Let's just do that tonight. If you want to do it where you are, do it. If you really want some prayer and some help, then you just come forward as we sing tonight. Stand up, please. Song that says, all to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, holy thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know
that thou art mine. God wants you free in the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you've never had that experience of being blessed by the Holy Spirit, you need to let yourself experience that. Baptism, mo, that word, just means the overflown by. It's a releasing of yourself to the Holy Spirit. You need to release yourself to God, to the Holy Spirit, to the intimacy of God, making time for that to happen. Let's just sing that verse, all to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, holy thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. If you need a refreshing in the Holy Spirit, if you have another need, just come forward and just lift your hands as we pray.
Young people, fathers, mothers, all of us need more, and tonight's the night. Why not tonight? If you need more, if you want to just have that refreshing, just come as we sing the chorus again. Don't wait, just come. I brethren and elders come. If you're having a struggle with your prayer life, like me, if you're having a struggle with reading the Bible and having a hunger for the Word of God, just come. If you want to have liberty in prophecy, come. God will set you free. If you want to have liberty in tongues, God is going to set you free and give you that baptism tonight. The reason God is doing this tonight is because of what you're about to face. Not necessarily the condition we're in now, but we have a lot ahead of us, and He's just giving us the heads up. We're going to need more of Him tonight. So let's soften our hearts and just come as we sing, all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Let's give ourselves to Him now. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet.
His feet I bow.
Worldly pleasures
all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now.
To your feet at the old
rugged cross, I'm turning it all over to you. You're setting me free. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and obey.
Those of you in the congregation and those of you at the front, make good use of this opportunity. Just cry out to God with all your heart. Make tonight different. We need more of Him. There's a battle about to come upon our lives and upon the earth, and God is going to have us ready, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Jesus, draw me close. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, for I desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me closer, worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God.
we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
As we sing it again, realize we're singing to the one who's our maker, the one who wants to transform us tonight, the one who wants clay that is workable, clay that is yielding. And let's yield to Him as we sing it again. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. Our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep. Spirit, I need Thee. Come, Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in Thy strength. Tonight, come Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Come Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Tell him once again that you need him. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thy own strength. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Bless me now. Like the congregation to just join in singing Fill Me Now as an intercession. For those who are at the front, just close your eyes and sing Fill Me Now.
Fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, come and fill. Come, O come, and fill me.
Sing, I give all myself to you. I give all myself to you. Let earthly values fade. All that really matters is knowing I'm yours. Cover me, Lord, with your presence. Cover me, Lord, with your righteousness. Cover me, Lord, with your presence. Lord Jesus. Come and help, please. Cover me, Lord, with your presence. Cover me, Lord, with your righteousness. Cover me, Lord, protection from danger and harm. Shelter me safe in your strong loving arms. Help me to see there's no cause for alarm. Lord Jesus,
Thank you.
may be seated. God has blessed us all so very much this evening. And here we are at the last meeting of this camp, and so we're going, I was thinking, I wish there was another meeting. There are several people have mentioned that they have songs to sing, but God has led us in a special way this evening, and we always want to follow His leading. And as we look back on every meeting and the camp as a whole, we see the way He has led us in a way that we did not understand at the time. And He has filled us, strengthened us, and I know that we're going to go from here I'm going to be stronger, every one of us. It's such a blessing that some of us travel as traveling ministries, I suppose. I don't even feel. We're just part of the body. We have the same needs as everybody else. We need to be filled with Him. We have the privilege of going probably to more of these camps than some others. But we all have those same needs. We need His strength, His wisdom in everything, every day of our lives. Praise the Lord. So, this evening, there's one song that I'm going to ask. And that there's some girls that have a song, and I'm not sure, I've forgotten what it was. Nearer My God Today? Yeah. Okay, would you come, please, the ladies that have that song prepared, and just sing for us right now. Praise God. Hallelujah.
That's all our, the prayer of all of our hearts, to be near, walk nearer to God. Praise the Lord.
I'm just reminded of the scripture that says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, tonight there's been a lot of drawing near to God. That's a beautiful song that these ladies just played and sang. You know, we wish we were all perfect when we come up here to do things, and that isn't always the case, but it's so nice to try. It's so nice to give, do what we have, and the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord helps us. But let us remember, many came here tonight, draw near to God. Remember that scripture, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. We thank God that we can share that news to everybody. If you want more of what's right, just draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. He will help you. He will bless you. Praise the Lord.
We've appreciated so much having Brother Hannigan with us. This time he leaves his wife at home and comes all this distance to be with us and to minister to us. We appreciate it very much. I'd like Brother Hannigan to pray for us before we leave.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence with us during this camp. We thank you, dear Lord, for all the things that have been brought to us through ministry of the word and through the ministry of songs. We thank you for the musicians and for the wonderful addition that their gifts add to our times of worship.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just thank you so much for the things that you have taught us during this camp, and help them to be written indelibly on our hearts and minds, Father, that we might walk in them day by in the coming days, day by day. Oh, we praise and thank you, O God. You are so wonderful. Your love is so great. You have poured so much of your Spirit upon us and of your blessings. And we just thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for all who have worked so diligently to provide food and for all the necessary things. We thank you for every ministry in the body, from the youngest to the oldest.
Yes.
We thank you for the little ones that ministered and,
yes,
and for what you're doing. And God, we look to you to guide us and direct us in your pathways in the days that lie ahead. Lord, we long to share your love. We want the fullness of your kingdom to come,
yes,
not only in our hearts, but in those that we love and those that we know. Praise your wonderful name. We pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.